Well, welcome everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show coming to you from the RBR Network. We're glad to have you joining us this evening. We're really happy that you all get online, and it looks like we're going to have a lot of people wanting to talk to our guest tonight. Anyway, before we talk about our fabulous guest, I want everyone to know that they can access this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford live, or you can go into the archives after the show, just a few minutes after the show, and you can go into the on-demand section that is the archives. If you're not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in at 347-838-9142. Got questions, you can use the same number, and just press the one button, and the moderator will get you in. And we'll try to get to you as soon as possible. Well, our guest tonight is Rick Levine, and he is an astrologer, but he's not just a regular astrologer. He is, I would say he's in great demand. And he's a wonderful person, too, because I've got to be in his presence several times. And he has got a lot to share tonight. He's going to give us some new predictions about things that are going on. But again, Rick is he lives up here in the Seattle area, and he is one of the most widely published horoscope authors in the United States. And it's because his daily astrology predictions are accurate and realistic. Check out his website. You can go to starriq.com or tarot.com and sign up for a free daily astrology and tarot reading. Rick has written several books and many magazine articles that have been published in the Mountain Astrologer, Fate, and Aspect Journal. If you're into astrology, you'll know all of these different magazines. Rick has made many, many media appearances over the years on radio and television. He maintains a very high profile of service within the astrology community. He founded the Center for Astrological Research and Education, and he really does stay greatly involved in the astrology world. Every time I've seen him, he's getting ready to take off and go talk astrology somewhere. So he's a busy man, and he does fantastic with his readings. And so we're really excited to have Rick on the show tonight. I'm going to bring him in now. Hi, Rick.
Hello. God, with that kind of introduction, it sounds like I died already.
Oh, I'm sorry. Supposed to be good.
No, I mean it was very lovely. I kept thinking, is that really me?
Well, yes, that's really you, because I do know you a little bit, so that's what's even nice, because a lot of my guests, you know, I never see them, you know, we just connect up. I know you've got some wonderful things to share. Before we ever got together today, I wanted to ask about certain things, and the one thing that's always on everybody's mind when it's going on is Mercury retrograde. And I want you to share about Saturn, how it affects us, and the full moon, and any other upcoming activities that you would like to, you know. I noticed you're getting ready to do a experience astrology in Bali. That sounds fabulous. Be sure and tell us about
that. Oh yeah, this will be my fifth workshop / retreat in Bali, and this one will be 8 days long, September 20th through the 28th. Bali is pretty much as close to paradise as you can get on Earth, and this will be an experiential astrology retreat, meaning that even if you barely know your sun sign or if you're a professional astrologer, from one end of the spectrum to the other, it's going to be a full immersion experience. And we will get to do a lot of Balinese cultural things, including when we're into Mars, we'll go to the Ketchak fire dance. We'll get some cooking classes in when we're doing Venus. On the full moon, we'll do a temple visit and get blessed by the Hindu priest after doing a full immersion in a holy spring. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, I know what I'm getting into here because I go to Bali as much as I can. And it's fantastic. Everything from landing at the airport to taking off is, pretty much mindless, taken care of. Anyone who wants more information can go to Heaven and Earth Workshops. That's one word, heavenandearthworkshops.com. And there's a link to which events are going on. They do a bunch of them, and this will be fantastic. In other upcoming lectures, I'm going to be at Lilydale again this summer in August. Lilydale is the spiritualist community near Buffalo in upstate New York. I'll be in Minneapolis, St. Paul, over the solstice weekend later this month, around June 18th through the 20th. And I'll be, lecturing down in Austin in November. And I'm sure I'm leaving out some other stuff, but there's a few things of where I'm going to be this year.
Well, how exciting!
Let me.
I know you.
Yeah, I was gonna say before we get started with anything else, let me just jump on a word that you used that I have a little bit of a little trouble with, although you said it accurately and it's true, because you used the word prediction several times. And often people take the word prediction as telling the future as if it's set in stone. And this is one of the great buttons that I have about modern astrology and about even many astrologers, because the word predict simply means to say before. Diction, pre, before. And so, everyone can predict. If you say, I'm going to work tomorrow, that's a prediction. But in astrology, I can predict with great accuracy when a planet will be in a certain place in the sky and when planets will make angles with each other that then set the tone for a moment. However, I cannot predict what any one person will do with that particular moment. When it's rainy out, which it often is here in Seattle, it's not a good day to head to the beach with suntan lotion, But if you're a duck, it's a magnificent day to go to the beach because there's no humans there messing it up. You get your privacy. So we have to be careful about the use of the word prediction, even the fact that we have, a full moon coming up tomorrow on June 2nd. People get very worked up about things like full moons and Mercury retrogrades, both of which we have going on right now. And often it's the fear around these important events that create negativity, not the events themselves.
Right. Well, Rick, before I even said that, I thought I'm using the wrong word because I know
No,
that.
It was a correct
and
word. It's just my.
Well, I know, but I was, you want to talk about that, that's good. Everyone needs to know that. That's great information. And I totally agree with you. And, thank you for sharing. I'll make sure that I use sharing with people. So tell us about this Mercury retrograde.
This Mercury retrograde is even intriguing compared to other Mercury retrogrades. But planets don't actually move backwards. they look like they're moving backwards. I mean, we've all had the experience of being in a subway or in a train or even in a car with a car right next to us, and we are gradually rolling forward, and we look out the window, and we're convinced that the train or the car next to us is actually going backwards. It's not that they're going backwards, nor is it that Mercury is going backwards. It's simply that we on Earth, or in our car or in the train, are going faster forward than the train or car or planet next to us. So it's really just a trick of perspective. When a planet gets closer or closest to Earth on its regular cycle, it appears to move backwards for a while. Mercury does that because Mercury goes around the sun four times every year. So three times in a year, Mercury catches up to the Earth and comes between the Earth and the sun. And when it comes between the Earth and the sun, it comes close enough to the Earth that it looks like it's going backwards. The problem with a planet being close to the Earth is that planets are like radio stations, and when they're closer to the Earth, they're louder. And that might be great, except if you think of Mercury as the planet that has to do with communication, all forms of communication. I mean, driving to Seattle and back to deliver a package is a form of communication. Anything that moves from here to somewhere else and back, whether it be a thought, an idea, a conversation, or even a vacation or a trip, if you're going out and back, that's Mercury. And the problem is that when Mercury gets close to Earth, the communication wires, the lines, the bridges, the roads get clogged because there's more information on them. And when things get clogged, we freak out because we can't get there as fast, we're running late, we make a stupid turn, we don't listen to the directions carefully because we're in a hurry. This idea of don't sign a contract when Mercury is retrograde is absolute baloney. I mean, some of the most successful companies in the world and some of the most successful speeches and even relationships and marriages have been started with Mercury retrograde. The problem with Mercury retrograde is when you do things and don't think about it first. Because we get all worked up with the sense of urgency or immediacy. And there is something very real to the Mercury retrograde. I mean, the two largest internet outages in history in the United States both happened on the day that Mercury stopped or appeared to stop to begin its retrograde cycle, which is the most potent period of each cycle. Now, the fact is that right now, Mercury turns retrograde for about 3 weeks at a time, three times a year. Mercury turned retrograde mid-May, actually on May 18th, and it turns direct. In other words, the retrograde cycle ends on June 11th, that's next Thursday, June 11th. And when Mercury is retrograde, we do need to pay a little bit more attention to what we say and what we think we hear because things are running quicker and faster than usual. However, in the same vein that I said I don't like predictions that write the future in stone, I believe and use and practice an astrology that empowers people rather than takes power away from them by telling them what is. And when Mercury is retrograde, this is a time to do things that have the R-E, reword, before it. What I mean by that, and because Mercury looks like it's traveling backwards, it's covering old territory. So this is a time to review, to reconsider, to reassess, to rethink, to restate, to rewrite, all these things that have to do with doing things again, this is a fantastic time. It's harder to push forward into new mental, intellectual territory until Mercury turns direct on June 11th, and even then it takes another couple of weeks or so before it covers its old territory again and then pushes into new territory. But this is a regular cycle, and there's nothing to fear about it as long as we understand that it's only negative if we get caught up in some sense of urgency that's really not about what is.
Okay, that's very interesting. Well, I like all that really stuff. As long as we know that's what we can be doing in this time, I guess we get extra energy for it. I was trying to think. I have been feeling like I've been redoing a few things lately. Well, okay. Well, that was wonderful. Okay, now also, the reason I ask about Saturn is I know that Saturn stays in our house for everybody's, you know, planet for like for 2 years. And now it's gone into Sagittarius. And I know when Saturn was in Aries several years ago, for 2 years,
yeah.
I had a lot of stuff. I mean, it was I had some accidents, just different things. And I kept thinking it was one thing right after the other until my astrology friend, she said, well, you know, Aries is in Saturn now, and that's your house of lessons.
Yeah, well, just a to be specific about vocabulary, planets actually move through signs. Houses are something different. They're where signs interact with our, you know, individual horoscope. So planets move through signs, and the fact of the matter is that Saturn takes about 30 years to go through all 12 signs, so it spends about 2.5 years, actually, in each sign. And Saturn, for the last couple of years, actually, since 2012, Saturn was in Scorpio, and now Saturn actually two days before Christmas on December 23rd, Saturn left Scorpio and moved into Sagittarius, where it will be mostly for the next 2.5 years through September of 2015. I'm sorry, through December of 2017. However, just like Mercury moving retrograde, outer planets move retrograde too. And Saturn, although it's in Sagittarius now, it moved there last December, so it's been in Sagittarius all this year so far. On June 14th, that's just 2 weeks from today, Saturn retrogrades back into Scorpio for a quick dip back into the sign where it's been for the last couple of years, and I'll talk more about what that means in a moment. And then it moves back into Sagittarius on September 17th, this year, 2015, where it then stays for a couple of years. So we're not quite done with the Saturn in Scorpio. And for many people, Saturn in Scorpio, Saturn is the planet of tests. It's the rule maker. Saturn is the same word as Satan, but without the negative Judeo-Christian value judgment. Satan is you get what you deserve, but we all deserve bad because we were born of original sin. In astrology, Saturn is just karma. It's you get what you deserve. If you do the work, you get rewards. Saturn loves to give rewards, but most of us don't do the work. That's why Saturn often points out in our lives where things have gone wrong because we haven't done what we needed to do. So in Scorpio for the past couple of years, Scorpio is a passionate, intense water sign. It's emotional. It has to do with our feelings. It has to do with complex relationships and shared possessions, whether those possessions are actually real estate or bank accounts or just ideas or emotions or even our bodies, its connection to shared sexuality. And while Saturn was moving through Scorpio, many people were dealing with intense transformations having to do with deep emotional processing. In the astrology world, when Saturn moved into Sagittarius, most astrologers were ready to go take a deep breath because Sagittarius is uplifting. Sagittarius is about the top of the next mountain. It's about going on a safari or a trip far away. It's about philosophies which raise our thoughts above the humdrum of normal life and into the realms of kind of big thinking, inflated thinking even. And so Saturn in Sagittarius is very much about setting long-term goals and being committed to the bigger process rather than being stuck mired down in the deep, dark, unconscious, dirty realms of Scorpio. You know, when I say dirty, I'm not making a value judgment. I just mean it's heavy. And so Saturn in Sagittarius has been for many people like a light at the end of the tunnel. where we can all of a sudden see what may be down the road and set new goals. However, we need to keep in mind that from June 14th through December, from June 14th through September 17th of this year, 2015, Saturn's going to dip back in Scorpio, and for some of us, it's going to be like a remedial course on what is it that we didn't disclose? Where didn't we finish the process of transformation? What is it that we haven't said that still needs to be said? And so we kind of go back into that realm for a few months. And then in September, when Saturn moves back into Sagittarius, it's like, again, the heavens open up. We get to set longer-term goals, and this time it stays there for 2 years, so it's enough time for us to actually work on making those dreams come true by setting goals off in the distance and doing what we need to plan for them and to make them happen.
Wow. Well, okay. I'm definitely going to have to go back and listen to all of that again, but I understand it, and that was really interesting knowing that it's going to go back into Scorpio again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we ain't quite done yet.
No. I know a few Scorpio friends, and they went through some big stuff last year. Really?
Well, and for Scorpio, when Saturn is in the same sign as your sun sign, like you are a Scorpio, or
yeah,
even your moon sign or your ascendant, if you know it, when Saturn contacts your own sign or your moon sign or your ascendant, usually that's a time when, you know, when karma comes around and we got to do stuff. Often people make big decisions about their lives when Saturn is back in their sign. In fact, one of my favorite deceased astrologers who wrote back in the 40s and 50s, a man named Grant Louis, wrote that when Saturn is in your sun sign, it's a time when the chickens of ambition come home to roost. If you've been feeding them, they come home happy and laying golden eggs. But if not, they come home scrawny, and you got to deal with them and feed them, even if you don't have any money or resources. It doesn't matter; they're yours. And the concept here is definitely with Saturn: you get what you deserve. So Scorpios have been through it. Sagittarians, especially those born at the very beginning of Sagittarius, might already feel Saturn's breath on them. But over the next couple of years, as Saturn moves back into Sagittarius and through Sagittarius, all of those people who do have a sun sign Sagittarius or an ascendant or moon Sagittarius will feel the heaviness and the weight of Saturn's responsibility, kind of forcing them to grow up and take responsibility for, you know, for who they are and what they are and what they do and what they didn't do, and this is often the way Saturn works. You know, one other thing though we should mention that I think is quite significant is the fact that you know, we talked about Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrogrades three times a year. Saturn and the outer planets only retrograde once a year. But Venus retrogrades every other year. And we have this much rarer Venus retrograde coming up this summer. Venus retrogrades from July 25th through September 6th. Venus retrogrades about 40 days. And Venus's retrograde this summer means that issues around love and money, which is what Venus is, our attractions and our desires, again, think of Venus coming closer and closer to Earth. That stuff begins to heat up. We're going to be, you know, kind of overwhelmed, many of us, by relationship issues or financial issues. And the solutions often come from looking to the past rather than to the future, because when a retrograde occurs, I mean, I have a friend who was married for many years to a woman. They split up for about 6 years, and on a Venus retrograde, they got back together and remarried.
Really?
So I'm not saying that's going to happen to anyone we know.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that while we're talking about what's coming up this year and the retrograding, you know, Mercury and Saturn retrograding back into Scorpio, I would be remiss doing my job as an astrologer if I didn't mention the fact that Venus is just entering into Leo, in a few days on June 5th, and by July 18th, Venus makes it into Virgo, but just barely tips into Virgo, and by July 25th, Venus turns retrograde, and by the end of the month is back in Leo for a long haul. So it's interesting the way these planets work, and what part of what that means is that the excitement and the enthusiasm and the presentation, the lightheartedness of love that we may feel while Venus is in Leo over the next month is not going to just go away when it hits Virgo. We get a redux. We get to replay that and to dig in even deeper.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to Venus's retrograde in Leo because it's a playful Venus. It's a fun Venus.
Well, I'm all about having more fun. Well, okay, now one more subject. The last one is I want to discuss with you before we got all these people want to talk to you is the full moon that is happening right now, tomorrow.
Right, right. We are in the full moon phase. The full moon is technically 9:18 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow, June 2nd. Which means that it's just afternoon, 12:18 p.m. On the eastern part of the United States. And every full moon is a culmination. This full moon in Sagittarius is opposite the sun in Gemini. So Sagittarius-Gemini is an axis of information. Gemini is a Mercury sign. Gemini is about the noise of sending and receiving information. In astrology, it has to do with siblings, because siblings have that kind of talking process that's really unimportant. It's just noise. It goes on. And what's significant about the sun in Gemini right now is that it's sandwiched between Mars in Gemini on one side and Mercury retrograde in Gemini on the other. Now, Mercury retrograde, I said earlier, is special, and I never really said why. The reason why it's special is that when Mercury hits Gemini, its own sign, Mercury is automatically louder because it's at home. It's vibrating its own energy. And so its retrograde in Gemini is even tougher because it's even louder now. And so we have Mercury retrograding in Gemini and Mars in Gemini with the sun right in between them and the full moon opposite. The full moon in Sagittarius is reflecting our need and our desire to go long. Remember, Saturn is in Sagittarius too. And so we kind of are taking this long-term view of life and of relationships and of commitments, and we're wanting to really understand better of how we can get to where we want to go. The moon in Sagittarius puts a philosophical kind of twist on things, and yet meanwhile, all of this energy in Gemini is just filling us with a lot of noise, with a lot of things to do, with a lot of, it's like being in school, you know, and you're in a study hall, and you have to write this amazing paper, but the teacher just says, before you do it, you have to do this exercise, and you know it's just, what do they call it, busy work. It's almost like we all have busy work right now, so it makes it harder to get to the larger issues of things that we really need to be doing. So this full moon is an interesting one. It's also square Neptune in Pisces, and when the moon, and for that matter, the sun, which exactly squared Neptune yesterday, but it's all tied up in the mix. In fact, all the planets in Gemini, Mars, the Sun, and Mercury, have each taken their turn square Neptune, as the full moon is. And Neptune is the planet of confusion. It's the planet of imagination. And yet we want to get things nailed, and yet we're kind of in this dreamy state of finding it difficult to really kind of be specific as we think we need to be. So my words of wisdom for this full moon is to be aware of what you're trying to do, but don't be too hard on yourself if you feel a little bit more scattered or a little bit more philosophical and you know, in your approach. It may take a little bit yet until Mercury turns retrograde next, or until Mercury turns direct next week, in order for us to start making progress on things that we think we should already be done with.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We need to have that little break there to know that, you know, we aren't really going crazy. I have got to write things down. I'll think of stuff and I immediately forget it, you know, that I want to do something.
Yeah. that's exactly
I feel
it.
This way. Is that it? Yeah, because
of course,
I'm, well,
Pam. Some of that could be our
husband.
Age.
Oh no, 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 not me. Thanks a lot. Okay.
I said our.
I know. Well, that's right. Well, anyway, what they call that, mental pause or something. Okay, Rick.
Right.
Let's bring somebody in that would like to ask you a question. I'm going to bring Sharon in. She's from Ohio just a moment. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, this is Sharon.
It's Sharon, that's correct.
Well, that's what Pam said. Hi.
Okay. And I know you can't do predictions. I understand that. I really do. If I ask you a question, can you just say when the best time is? How's that? Is that fair enough?
Maybe.
Okay. Okay. I want to see what you see in, I don't know, by my birthday, if that's how you look, what my employment situation looks like. If you see me, if I have a good chance of finding employment soon.
Well, okay.
I've been contracting.
Hold on 1 second. And do you know the time of day you were born?
Yep, the time, and yes, I sure do.
All right, so tell me the birth date first.
Okay, it's September 1st. I'm a Virgo.
September 1st, year? I'm sorry?
1965. Yep, 65.
And time of day?
11:43 p.m. I'm
and
a Gemini
what city?
Rising, I know that.
What city were you born in?
Livonia.
L-A-V-O-N?
It's L-I. I know a lot of people get confused.
Oh,
L-I.
I got it. Yeah.
You got it. Okay.
And what state is that?
Michigan.
There we go. And? Okay, now we just need to be clear that what we're doing here is not... is not a real reading, so to speak. I'm just taking a quick look, and this is not the same. But I have you as September 1st, 1965, at 11:43 p.m.
Yep.
In
yes.
Livonia, Michigan,
yep.
And and if I were doing a real client chart, I would be spending quite a bit of time, doing the necessary analysis, but. What I do see, which like just jumped right off the page at me, is that even though you are a Virgo, born during the time of the height of the astrological madness and creativity of the 60s, you have the Uranus-Pluto conjunction exact in your chart. And I always say that some people lived through the 60s, but other people, the 60s lived through them. And I would say that you are one of those people where you have that kind of cosmic buzz, regardless of how Virgoanly focused you would like to try to be. However, when I look at your chart, the thing that stands out like immediately to me is the fact that you have your moon in your chart in Sagittarius. Now, Virgo sun with the Sagittarius moon is really an interesting little dance because Virgo is about narrowing communication and Sagittarius is about opening it wide. And so there's this dance that I would imagine that you do between general concept and specific idea of, where do you find that balancing point between what I like to call, the very big and the very small. The fact, though, of the matter is that when Saturn moved into Sagittarius, it began messing with your moon at 2.5 degrees of Sagittarius. Saturn actually lined up exactly with your moon on January 17 of this year, 2015.
Okay.
Saturn turned retrograde, and going backwards, it retrograded over your moon again just a couple of weeks ago in mid-May of this year.
Okay.
So I would suggest that you look at what was going on, feeding in through the holidays and the beginning of January. Where were the difficulties? What wasn't working? What were the things that were getting in the way and making you feel like you were not in the right place? Maybe it was job related, but maybe there were other, you know, issues at home or emotional relationship, whatever. But I would then look and see how through May some of those issues may have been back on your plate, but from a different point of view, perhaps, and then project forward to October, because all of this will take. It's not to say that you won't get work or that you can't find something to do between now and then, but I really think that ultimately things are not going to settle down for you completely until Saturn is well on its way through Sagittarius. We're looking at least October, November of this year, and really more, I think there's still some decisions for you to make early into 2016. I hope that helped some.
It did. Okay.
That was the resigned it did, like, yeah, it's not what I wanted to hear, but I kind of knew it.
I know. I have another contract job. In fact, I'm interviewing for it tomorrow. You know, if I got to do it, I got to do it. You know, it's not what I want, but hopefully I'll find the job I'm looking for, my career. You said it'll be more so, to be totally honest, more so going into next year. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Here's the deal. Okay. Right now, Saturn is, how do I say this?
It's all work. It's
Saturn's up your butt, okay?
Oh, no.
No nice way to say it. You got to deal with what's right and real in front of you. The good news is that this won't last. It's not a permanent condition. But right now, you need to do what you need to do in order to get through this. And I would suggest, although that there's a tendency to want to make breaks and want to make changes and want to cut loose, you're best off looking back at this in a year and say, because the decisions that you make will be much more intelligent in the long term rather than the ones that you're making today under duress.
When it leaves me, is it going to be gone for a while?
Yeah, it's never gone long enough, though. It's Saturn. It's part of his job.
Okay. I just wondered. I'll have some relief. Okay. Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was great. I know you did. At least you gave us some direction. How fun. Okay, now we got another lady.
Right, but you notice that I didn't say she would or wouldn't get a job because I don't have a damn clue.
I know.
But I know that this is a difficult time for her, and I know that when, you see, Saturn is constriction. It pulls energy in, and the moon likes, like mom, it likes to be totally nurturing and open. And so when Saturn conjuncts our moon, as it does for each and every one of us for about a year, once every 29 years, and when Saturn lines up with our moon, we often feel a bit lost, like decisions we made. We look back and think, I should have done that. I shouldn't have done that. It's that, you know, it's the regret about being in a place where things aren't working. And yet what it really does is it really gives us an opportunity to fine tune what's important for us in the long run. We don't have the luxury when Saturn's lined up with our moon. I don't know if Sharon's probably still listening. We don't have the luxury to be down on ourselves. This is just the time to slice through what's important and what's not. Period.
Okay. Well, we're glad we've got you on this end, giving us some good guidance here. I want to bring someone in from California. Her name is Enchantress. This is interesting. Hello.
Were you born with that name?
No, I wasn't.
it's
Do I need
okay.
to get my real one?
No, not at all. I personally, I would much rather have a phone conversation or a conversation in cyberspace, which is what this is, with someone called Enchantress than Sue.
Oh, my. Okay, come on. You have telepathy. I already know it. You're a channeler. You're empathic. And you're a number 33 in numerology. Did I get
tell
any of those
name.
Right?
Huh?
I believe that you have telepathy. You're empathic. You're a channeler. And you're number 33 in numerology. Did I get any of those right?
But probably. But is your name Sue? That's all I want to know.
Yes. Everything you're saying, I was thinking every single I mean, it's like I wrote to people today, say, this is why I feel this way, confusion. I got to know the moon goddess today. And everything you're saying is like, well, I don't need to say a word. You're just saying it all. It's, in fact, I put on my page today, angels. I'm very in tune to angel cards to say that.
Sure.
Dreams, you know, live your dream. And everything you're saying, every word you're saying, it all, you're authentic. I thank
okay.
you so much.
So, Enchantress. I'd much rather call you Enchantress.
Okay.
What's your birth date?
9/15/1954. I'm also
9/15. Whoa. 9/15/54. At what time?
9:10 p.m. in Los Angeles.
9:10 p.m. in Los Angeles. The
yes,
city of angels. There you are. You're born in the city of angels, and you're still talking to him.
Yes, and I was a premature baby, too, so I don't have a filter. So there you go.
So let's see. According to my calculations, and you may or may not know this, you are a Virgo, like Sharon. But unlike Sharon, you were born at moonrise with the moon in Taurus. Do you know that? You have a Taurus moon?
No, I have a dad that's of Taurus. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Is that okay to say that?
I think you have a what of Taurus?
My dad's a Taurus. I'm a daddy's girl. Does that mean anything that I'm, and I channel moons, or I'm very
in tune
to the moons. I'm very affected
well, often,
to the moons.
Well, often... I'm an Aries. My daughter's moon is an Aries. Often, we pick up, our chart, some of it, hereditarily. So often our moon sign is the sun sign of one of our parents. Not always, but it's very common. And
wow,
it does denote a real connection. But the fact is that every day the sun rises, every day the moon rises. We don't always see it. But the ancients, the word horoscope actually meant hour marker, like telescope is a view of something far away, a horoscope is a view, scope of the horo, the hour. And to the ancients, whatever planet was rising on the eastern horizon at the time of the birth became their horoscope. That was their hour marker. And in your, not everyone has a planet rising at the moment of their birth, but when you were born, the moon in Taurus was just coming up over the horizon. And so the fact is that the moon in your chart is the most significant planet just because of the fact that it's on the horizon, but it even gets better because at that same moment, Venus was setting. You know, you were born, you know how Venus as an evening star you can see for about an hour or so after the sun sets, like you
yeah.
can now? Well, you were born at 9 p.m. in L.A. In the fall. The sun had already set, and Venus was very far away from the sun like it is now. It was very bright. But Venus had just set at the same moment that the moon had risen. So Venus and the moon, the two feminine planets, in your chart are like a tug of war with you in the middle. Venus or the moon pulling toward the simplicity and the sensuality and the in the bodiness of the feminine moon, that's the simplicity one way, while Venus in Scorpio is pulling into a realm of emotional complexity with it. But this is what I want. I don't want just the feel good. I want the complexity of the merge. So this tug of war pulls you in both directions, but it even gets better because the planet Mars in Capricorn is harmonizing with this tug of war, and Mars is in Capricorn saying, "Yes, but I'm going to finish what I start. I'm going to make it real." And it's a very powerful signature. So,
wow.
what the hell was your question?
What was my question? Oh, well, you're telling me I don't even need to ask a question. I mean, it's like I'm a visionary too. So, and I write with my, if you understand about premature babies or whatever, I write with my unconscious mind. But I'm scared of scorpions because of the men in my life that were scorpion.
Well, here's let me interrupt you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
That Venus that I talked about that was just setting, if when you were born you drew a straight line from Earth to Venus and kept going and going and going and going, you were born with Venus conjunct Saturn. In other words, Saturn in your chart is on a straight line. You can imagine the moon pulling one way, the Earth in the middle, then Venus the other way, and then Saturn far out on the other end of the line pulling along with Venus. And Saturn is restriction. Venus is the feelings. And so the feelings, when they express deeply in Scorpio, your desires, your passions, in Scorpio, bump up against Saturn, which is restraint and often told, no, you can't, you shouldn't, that's not right. And often what women often do is find guys to play the role of their Saturn, their dad, in a very different way, and I don't mean biological dad, but it's that whole idea of the need or the desire and the fighting of the restraint. And so Venus and Saturn together in a chart can be problematic in love until one realizes that it's not about the fast, flashy, you know, kind of experience that some people get. You're looking for the real stuff that's going to last, and the problem is that sometimes it's too intense or, you know, too much, you know, for guys to handle.
Oh, my God. You are – okay, oh, my God. Can I just tell you something? I'm with a Virgo that's one week ahead of me. And I had a dream that I wanted to put all this together, where my wants, my needs, and desire. And I had a dream that he appears to be like this person, that he's a true friend for the first time in my life, a person with a business deal together, and a lover, nothing more. But this person appears to be like my dad and my mother. So he keeps on telling me, like, all the other people in my life were always like the guys, like, were fake guys and flashy and everything you're saying. But, you know, they made you feel good for a while and, you know, whatever. I won't say it's sexual, but whatever. But all right, I'll tell you, all right, I'll share one thing. My ex-husband was a Scorpion, a sociopath. The next person, a Scorpion, a spiritual vampire. That's why I'm scared of them, because of what I experienced.
So let me interrupt you for a second, because I'm going to tell you my Scorpio one-liner that always gets me into trouble, but even the Scorpios present kind of laugh nervously. So my Scorpio one-liner is, being loved by a Scorpio is the most amazing thing in the entire universe, until the part where they kill you.
Oh, my God. And they enchained each time. They enchained me. You understand that?
Mm-hmm. So the short version, though, just bringing this back to the here and now, is that probably about 2 years ago, around the time of your Saturn return, it was probably a real stressful change for you.
Yes.
And the important thing to understand about what's going on right now in your chart is that you're through that. Even though when Saturn dips back into Scorpio over these next few months, you may get some, like, waves of some of that old stuff from a couple years ago, don't fall into it. It's
oh, my God,
yours.
Yes, yes, yes. But when I share it with someone about this person, it's like I'm another person. But, see, this Virgo is like, I want him to be like, say, oh, yeah, okay, everything's okay, and give like the other men were. But this guy has to give me rules and reality. And I'll tell you something. I'm the Sally girl. You ever heard of When Harry Met Sally?
Mm-hmm.
I'm her. And so I like things a certain way in everything.
Can you do the restaurant scene like she did?
Yes. And the food and everything. Now, when he first met me, he didn't know this.
So
I arranged the food a certain way, and he didn't know what he was in for. I'm also very magnetic, so he didn't know what he was in for.
I see the magnetism. I see the magnetism is unquestionable. We need to pull this to a close. Here's the thing.
Okay, I adore you, by the way.
The thing is, this is not about this guy. This is about you falling victim to your own vision of perfection, and then projecting it onto the person that you're close to, and vice versa. This guy has no one can control you. No one can own you. Period. No one can control you.
That's
no
true.
One can own you.
They try, but it doesn't work. Uh-huh.
Well, and but even the dancing with it and the resisting of it engages it. And so there's a part of you that until you begin to see this pattern enough in advance that you can avoid it, and whether it means being alone or alone for a while or whatever, it's not about finding another person to project your need to be contained on.
Yes.
It's about you just simply breathing and being yourself and opening your own heart rather than feeling like if there's no, it's the old, if a tree falls in the forest, does anyone hear it? The answer is yes. You can open your heart whether or not there's someone around.
Yes.
When you open your heart, that in itself creates the results of what you want. It's not meeting someone and, you know, and expecting them to be the next person to, you know, save you or love you or recognize that you're, you know, not what the other person thought you were or whatever.
Yes, and this one's different. He's not like the other ones. And I guess I want him to be like the other ones. So he's in reality and I'm still in fantasy, but I can manifest things. And I'm in tune. You see, I'm out of sync by doctors, but I'm in sync to the universe. So whatever,
yep,
I think about, it happens so fast. You understand, and it's hard for other people to understand this vibration. So
the vibration is very high in your chart, but it also gets you into trouble because it's an ethereal vibration. That's the connection with the angels, and that ethereal vibration is not what exists in the three-dimensional world, which is what you encounter when you encounter someone else. Before I let you go, I say this while Sharon was on the line. My email address is rlevine@starstariq.com. I'll say it again, rlevine@stariq.com. You and Sharon can both send me an email, and I will send you a copy of the chart that I am looking at that I ran. So,
wow, how do you spell Levine? L E
L. It's R as in Rick, L E V.
Oh, R-E-L-E-V.
R-L-E-V-I-N-E.
Uh-huh.
At star, like the things up there.
Uh-huh.
IQ. Star IQ, like smart stars. StarIQ.com.
IQ. Q, there's a Q?
I-Q.
E-Y-E? Sorry, a little I? Okay.
Follow the link on Pam's page. It's
okay,
star
and you
IQ.
Wanted something? I spell the word star, or I spell sister with a star in it.
That's
all
fine.
All you're
it's
saying,
not that.
It makes
it's,
so sense, because when I say I'm like a fairy, a channeler.
No, enchantress. Listen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's rlevine@stariq.com.
Okay, that's what I wrote. So,
okay,
thank you so much. But the thing is, they say, well, you have to be an earth fairy. I says, no, I'm always up above. So it's what you're saying, everything you're saying, it makes so sense to me that I'm going, wow, someone gets me.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
you're
thank
amazing.
You for calling in, Sandra.
Thank you so much for the blessing.
Time.
Okay, bye.
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 Wow, that was an interesting conversation. But you know, the thing is, there was something you were talking in there that actually was about Saturn being in Venus. I have that in my chart. And I thought, well, this is interesting. I want to think about that some more.
Yeah.
Okay, we have 6 more minutes. Can you do one more call and then that will be our last one?
I can, in 6 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to bring Jackie Boyd in. She's from Arkansas. Okay. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Pam. Hi, Rick.
Hi,
I'm really
Jackie.
I'm really enjoying the show. You have so much information. I think you're the first quantum astrologer I've ever heard speak, so thanks for that. And,
well, I am often billed that way when I lecture and teach, and there's a lot more to it than just a title. It's actually a book that I am working on, so hopefully that'll happen in the next year or so.
Oh,
Jackie,
great.
what's your birth date?
7/23/47.
7/23/47, what time of day?
1:40 a.m.
1:40 a.m. And where were you born?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth,
Texas.
Texas.
And I know it was 29 degrees Cancer. I have Gemini rising and a Libra moon.
Hold on.
And I feel like, having listened to you so far, I feel like I need to duck and dodge, and I want to know what you've got to tell me is going on.
Yeah, I see you as 4 degrees Gemini rising, the sun at 29 and a half degrees of Cancer, and the moon at 9 degrees of Libra. Your moon is conjunct, exactly lined up, very closely lined up from Earth's point of view, with Neptune, which gives you a very powerful sense of imagination and a very strong spiritual lean that in some ways, you know, I think that a lot of your energy in life in general is directed at when, you know, it's the old Kenny Rogers song, when to hold, when to fold. You know,
right.
The Cancerian energy, not only the sun in Cancer, but Venus and Mercury, Mercury retrograde. You were born with Mercury retrograde, which means that Mercury is even more powerful, but it increases that whole Cancerian tendency to want to hold energy in, to pull it in, to hold behind the shell, to, you know, which is very different than the Gemini rising, which can be very facile and very able to tap dance in conversation and be very clever. But there's a part of you that really, I think, grows in your imagination when you pull in and sink down and deep. I mean, there's an intense piece in your chart. You were also born in 47, the year of the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, which was the same period of time as the first controlled fission, nuclear fission. And so there's this kind of, in some ways, you're like a constant nuclear reactor always having to pay attention so you don't melt down.
You're absolutely perfectly correct.
Now, the most important thing in your chart that I see, you know, coming up is the fact that Uranus, in its 84-year cycle, through later this year and next year, will be 90 degrees or squaring to your Venus and Mercury in Cancer, kind of really creating opportunities for you to learn a whole lot of new things. I'm imagining that you're on the edge, and this full moon is like all over your chart. This Mercury retrograde is all over your chart. I imagine that there's a combination of excitement and frustration. It's difficult to incorporate all the choices that you have or the choices that you would like to have and don't have. But the bottom line here is that I think you have an opportunity over the next couple of years to change a whole lot of stuff up in your life, to really make a difference in the trajectory. And rest assured that age has nothing to do with anything. We live in a world where, you know, I mean, where when I was a kid, Grandma Moses was like amazing because at 80 years old, she started a new career as painting, you know, as a painter. Nowadays, yeah, age has nothing to do with anything. We regardless of how old we are, you know, we are living until we're not. And I see your chart as having a lot of excitement, topsy-turvy. You know, this is not about holding on to what you thought you wanted to be or where you thought you wanted to go. This is about, you know, adapting and learning new things over the next year or so.
Yes, and there's a lot of new energy coming into the planet now that hasn't been here before, and I'm...
Well, yeah, and you've had your fill of it over the last few years with your moon and Neptune, you know, both hit by the Uranus and the Pluto over the last 2 or 3 years. I'm sure your life today is not what it was 3-4 years ago.
Exactly.
So anyhow, I think we've bumped up to the end of our time. I appreciate your calling, Jackie.
Thank you. I appreciate your help, and I look forward to working with you soon.
Sure.
Okay.
Y'all be blessed. Well, it was a great show. Thanks for letting me be part of it.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Call anytime. But again, I want to remind everyone, if you want to reach Rick Levine, you can go to rlevine@stariq.com, and it will take you right there where you can set up a session with him and and you'll love it. He's done a reading with me before, and it was fabulous, and that's why I love having him on the show, and I hope you'll come back and be with us again in the near future.
It's my pleasure, Pam. I always like hanging out with you either in real life or here in cyberspace.
Yes, me too. Thank you very much. Do you have any words of wisdom you would like to share before we close?
Yeah, don't let anyone tell you, don't let anyone, anyone.